The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully." He said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion said in reply, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "You may go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And at that very hour his servant was healed. Jesus entered the house of Peter and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and waited on him. When it was evening, they brought him many who were possessed by demons, and he drove out the spirits by a word and cured all the sick, to fulfill what had been said through Isaiah the prophet, "He took away our infirmities and bore our diseases." The Gospel of the Lord. The centurion says to Jesus, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." And Jesus was so amazed at the faith of the centurion, we have all but quoted him every time we say Mass. "Domine non sum dignus et intres sub tectum meum, sed tantum dit verbo et signabitur anima mea." And for centuries we've been quoting him, "Lord, I'm not worthy to enter under my roof. But only say the word and my soul shall be healed." He was so amazed at the faith of the centurion. So here's an important subject we need to talk about. And that's the subject of faith. Are you aware that you can't overemphasize how important faith is? Because everything in your spiritual life rises or falls with the level of your faith. Everything. Your hope rises or falls based on how much faith you have. Your charity, your love for God and for others and everybody you've ever known rises or falls based on how much faith you have. That's the subject of a whole other homily, right? But we need a good foundation to understand this. So we're going to start with Thomas Aquinas. We want to understand what faith is, and here's what he said. See, most people think faith means trust. It's way more than just trust, and it's definitely not a feeling or an emotion or a mood. Aquinas says, faith is in the mind. Here's his definition. Starting with God's grace enlightens the mind to assent to a divine truth, then moves the will to act. I'll put that in other words. It all starts with God's grace, by which we're able to believe what God has revealed, and that moves us to change the way we behave. That's faith. One of my favorite analogies to explain this is my soldier analogy, which I know I've used before, but I've never found a better analogy than this. You want to understand faith? Here's an image. Let's pretend like you have a brother who's in the army. And in some distant land across the world, he's been taken prisoner, and you don't know anything about him, and you're wrenched with anxiety, and you can't sleep at night because you don't have any knowledge. You don't know whether your brother's alive or dead, and there's not a word of a report about how he's doing. And such is your daily existence when suddenly you hear a knock at the door. There's a soldier on the other side of the door. You open the door. Soldier says, "I've got great news. I was in prison with your brother. We were all set free. Your brother's just fine. You should be hearing from him any minute now. Now what happens to your life? Well, now all your anxiety is gone. You're filled with joy. You can sleep at night. You feel like leaping in the air and clicking your heels because you believe what the soldier said. Well, faith is when we believe what God said. Little distinction that's important to understand. It's not the same thing as knowledge. It's much more than just knowledge. There's plenty of people with deep knowledge, lots of catechism, deep knowledge and very shallow faith. Because here's the trick. Faith exists before you see anything. That's the proof that faith is more than just knowledge. People say, oh, faith doesn't make any sense. Only weak minds have faith. It's a country song once. It said, faith is a crutch, man, but whatever works for you. Not true. Faith exists before you see anything. So people say, I have to see to believe. Well, you have to see your brother at the door? Or is it enough that you believe the soldier? You know, it's enough that you believe him, right? He has every reason to be telling you the truth and no reason to lie, and he's trustworthy. Well, how much more trustworthy is God? You see how faith changes your whole life? That's what Abraham had. That's what the Blessed Mother had. That's what the centurion had. And that's what we need to have as well. So you say, yeah, great idea. I'm all for it. Father, I want more faith. Here's the problem. Faith is a gift. You can't wake up one morning and just decide that you're going to have more faith. It's just a flat-out gift of God. Now, it was given to you in baptism. It was strengthened in confirmation. But if you want more of it, if you want your faith to be deeper, God has to give. But the good news there is that you can dispose yourself to receive. I mean, God sees that you want more faith, and when he sees that you're ready for more faith in God's time, he'll give you more faith. And you know what that means practically for us when we want more faith? Apart from the fact that we pray for it, right? Take that for granted. We show God we want more faith when we act on the faith we already have. Now, it's hard for me to tell you what it means to act on the faith we already have. So let me show you what it means not to act on the faith that we already have. Here's the opposite of acting on the faith that we already have. When you commit a sin, you break a commandment. You're basically saying to God, my will be done, not yours. I run this universe, God, not you. I am sovereign and you are not. Faith is diminished. Or, when you amble about your day, acting as though it's all about me. I saw a baby bib once, and printed on the baby's bib was, it's all about me, which is really cute for a bib. But there's a lot of grown-up babies running around this world, and that's their basic outlook on life. When you run around thinking it's all about you, faith diminishes. Or when you amble about life thinking that you ought to be in control, upset that you're not in control, that things aren't under your control. That's essentially atheism. It's atheism and a complete absence of faith to think that everything depends on you, which, by the way, is why atheists make lousy government officials. They make little tyrants because they think everything depends on us. There is no other power in the entire universe. And we act as though God can't work through broken people. We get upset with broken people in our lives, government, church. We get upset with broken events. Not that these things shouldn't sadden you. But atheism forgets that God makes all things work for the good. We exercise our faith when we remember God makes all things work for the good. Just a little word this morning about faith. Just a little word this morning about faith. To remember that we want to live in the following way. That my life is not my own project. I am part of God's plan. That's the faith that the centurion had. Let's make it our faith as well, as we ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, pray for us.